All right. Wherever you go.
Okay. It's great. So welcome, everyone, to this week's CCG call. Today we have Dr. Greg Bernstein. He's going to talk to us about BBS changes, updates to BBS Plus, and Jason LB, the VCs. Before we get going, I'll just go through admin. So quick code of conduct reminder, you know, treat everyone with respect. I think we're a welcoming, friendly community here. We want to keep it that way. So, yeah, let's keep being good. quick IP note. So anyone can participate in these calls and is welcome to do so. However, substantive contributions to the CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Yeah, if you have any problems with this, just reach out to us and we can walk you through it. The call notes for this meeting will be recorded and available in an archive. So as are all the recordings for our past meetings, if you want to look back on anything, feel free to do so. Describe. Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Does anyone want to introduce themselves who's new to the community or say hello, not said hello in a while? Feel free to jump on the queue. Nope. Going. Gone. Okay. Great. Well, if you want to say hello later, just let us know. Announcements and reminders. Has anyone got any announcements or reminders they want to raise and share with the community today? Manu.
Hey, all. Thanks, Will. We made this announcement on the mailing list, but we just released a new specification called Verifiable Credential Barcodes. And I'll put that in the chat channel here. And basically what this new technology allows you to do is it allows you to embed a verifiable credential into like a driver's license or an identity document, a physical identity document of some kind, and basically adds a digital signature to protect the driver's license or employment authorization document or naturalization certificate or a variety of other documents like this. So that spec's kind of out there. We're looking for other people to join us to help edit the spec. So if you're interested in supporting the spec, please jump in and add yourself to kind of the list of people that would like to edit the spec. We also this morning made an announcement that there is a demonstration website that you can use. So you can actually like load up this website on your phone and turn your camera on and scan the examples in the specification, and it will tell you whether or not the signature is good and whether or not the verifiable credential, you know, is valid and that sort of stuff. We also have physical cards that we can ship to you. So if you would like a physical card that embeds this technology in it, please fill out the form, give us, you know, your email and mailing address. It doesn't have to be your home, of course. And we will get 4 cards shipped off to you, so you've got some physical examples that you can try out and show people if you want. Happy to answer any questions on the mailing list about any of this new tech. That's it.
Great. That sounds really interesting. I think we're having you on, right, in August, I believe, if I saw the calendar correctly.
Wes Smith will be presenting, yes, in August on this technology. Yep.
Gregory?
Oh, I was just going to ask Manu. Cool. Is this the spec underlying some of the verification stuff we saw last week from DHS?
Yes, correct. So this is the same technology that it was announced that is going into the California driver's license in the United States. So 27 million people in California have a driver's license, and this technology will be used to secure those documents. It was also announced 2 weeks ago that this same technology will be going into future physical identification documents issued by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, including the permanent resident card, employment authorization documents, citizenship and naturalization certificates, and that's nationwide in the U.S.
Thanks.
Precious. Anyone else have any announcements or reminders? So I do have one thing that I want to just flag, which is really a recap on the call that I presented about CCG work items. Like, I have started to collate a list of active work items that I hope to start calling on. I'm not quite ready yet, but I've been reaching out to work items that I think are active to just confirm with the authors. So if you are working on a work item and you haven't heard from me yet, please do reach out, because I want to have a list of work items that are being worked on so I can start to present that to the community in a easier, accessible way. I hope we get more people involved. Thanks. Okay, anything else? Or we can hand over to Greg and hear his presentation. No? Greg, it's all yours.
All right. Let me allow sharing. Okay, let's go to the presentation. Can people see the presentation?
Yep.
Okay, and since I can't see the queue, I'm sure the hosts will let me know if there are questions and things like that. Okay, so PBS for verifiable credentials and data integrity. So I'm going to explain what I mean by that, because this is the second talk I gave. Previously, I gave a talk about BBS basics, okay, and that was just over a year ago, okay? So things have matured quite a bit, okay? We're in our final cryptographic review of the BBS spec and things like that. We'll talk about that in a sec. Today, I'm going to talk about and review verifiable credentials, data integrity. So what do I mean by that? Okay. Going to review BBS, but not as in-depth as the last time. And we're going to talk about, in particular, how do we combine the two? How do we get BBS messages, whatever those are, which I'll remind you of, from JSON-LD? How do we specify mandatory and selective disclosure of our JSON? How do we put this together, and why do we have two different types of proofs, base and derived? Okay. So who am I? I'm an invited expert now. I'm semi-retired. How do you become an invited expert? Well, you can help and co-edit a lot of documents. So I've been working on the data integrity and the cryptographic suites like ETDSA, ECDSA, and BBS. Okay. And if you are having trouble in your implementations, if you're an implementer, there is open source code that I use to produce the test vectors, okay? And if you're not verifying the test vectors, get in touch with me, because we might have made a mistake. This is what we do, particularly even over in the IETF, we're working on the BBS spec. We try not to update our document until we've got a couple folks that have verified the test vectors with each change we do. I've also got open source implementations. I was checking the specs as I worked on them as an editor. So for ECDSASD, BBS, okay, and that's actually the fundamental BBS implementation of the cryptography, our data integrity BBS, and I've got a little tiny server so I can use my stuff in interoperability testing, okay, and this is tiny. Okay, this is a Node.js, Express.js implementation suitable for anybody to use, including all the way down to a windsurfing club that might want to issue credentials to say who knows how to take their stuff off the dock and not leave a mess. Okay, I'm also working with the IETF BBS specs. Okay, and we've got a couple new ones coming out for some features that we want for BBS. Okay, So that's me. You can get a hold of me easily, and all those things are this presentation has been uploaded, and the links are in the email that I sent out in response to Harrison. So VC data integrity, what do I mean by this? Is we're starting with the credentials data model, okay? The JSON LDV2 data model, okay? It's got an information, it's got a section all about verifiable credentials that tells you what needs to be in there. I am concerned here with an embedded proof as compared to an enveloping proof, okay? This is the thing where we add into the credential, the JSON credential, a proof field that has all the stuff we need for the proof. What do we need for the proof? That's handled by the verifiable credential data integrity spec, okay? This tells you what the proof field should look like, okay? And this also adds stuff for producing those parallel signatures you've heard of, proof sets and proof chains. Okay, I take a very simplistic point of view about it. What does the JSON look like? Okay, for a verifiable credential with the data model, it's got to have a certain set of required fields. Not very many, actually, just four. A context, a type, okay, an issuer, and a credential subject. Okay. I found out that the issuer was required when I was trying to participate in interoperability tests, and I left that off because how could you have a credential without an issuer? Okay. There are a variety of other fields you can add in. Okay. But we have these essential ones. Okay. So that's what the data model says. Now, we're talking about an embedded proof, okay? That's dictated by the data integrity spec, okay? And it tells us what the proof field should look like. It's got a set of required fields, type, proof purpose, verification method, that gets us the public key, thinking about it from proof value is the actual string encoding of the cryptographic information. And very importantly, we specify what crypto stream we're using. You can have a bunch of optional fields too. Okay. When we put these things together, we get a secured data integrity secured credential. Okay. So we see the credential required fields here. Okay. Context, ID. I should have left the ID is not required. It's optional. Type, issuer, credential, subject, or the bulk of the information. And look, the proof field. This is required. Okay. And this is where the data integrity stuff goes. Okay. So this is what I'm in the BBS verifiable credential, BBS data integrity spec is about. Okay. And if you look at the data integrity spec, you'll see this diagram, which talks about going from the credential, the data, to the data with proof. Okay? And we perform a transformation on the data. Typically, in general, previously, we'd hash the data separately, generate a proof by using a signature algorithm and bundling that stuff up. Okay? The general approach is all the information in the proof other than the proof value, we actually consider proof options. The issuer comes up with that. Okay. So we're going to take that stuff. We're going to standardize it, what we call canonize it, or canonicalization, okay, and hash that. The idea behind that is we protect the proof metadata. Everything's got to be protected. Very few things aren't protected, and most things are protected in this method cryptographically, okay? The unsecured document gets canonized, Okay. And then gets hashed to protect the document and the document's metadata. Okay. The two hashes get concatenated. Okay. And then we use a signature algorithm, produce the proof bytes. The proof bytes are then multibase encoded to produce a string of proof value that's included in the proof field. Okay. This is the general approach we've been using. Okay. You may be asking, what's this canonicalization? Well, the same JSON document, okay, can look very different. You add white space, you can reorder the property values, names, okay? That still is the same information, okay? So, changing the order of properties in the JSON document doesn't change its meaning, neither does adding white space between tokens. So that's just an example of two items, okay? However, if I took a cryptographic hash over the text of that, when I change those things, get a very different result, because that's what hashes do, cryptographic hashes do. So we need equivalent documents from the point of view of their meaning to produce the same hash. Okay, solution, we put it in a canonical standardized form. There's various ways of doing this. One way is, so we use the credential start. If I use the JCS, JSON canonicalization scheme from, okay, it removes the white space essentially and orders the fields alphabetically. Of course, it's really not that simple because there's always a lot of corner cases. Okay. And there's two different canonicalization schemes we use. Unfortunately, JCS is not usable for BBS or selective disclosure. We'll see in a sec. So, BBS, we talked about this before, and let's just remind ourselves, there was basics, the talk that I gave before, which gave the history and things like that. Short answer is it's coming up to about 20 years old when Dan Bonet and his co-authors first published the idea. It's been over 8 years since it was completely written up and rigorized with proofs back in 2016, and we're almost done standardizing it at the IETF. Okay, we have one last breaking change that's going in right now that was asked for by the people doing some embedded work to make it easier for them to do things. It's not a security motivated thing. It's so that they can produce some things easier by rearranging the order in which they take a hash. Anytime you change the order you do something in hash, it's going to produce different results. There's also an in-browser demo, which I'll actually even show you guys again. Okay. What are its fundamental properties? Let's just go to the demo to take a look. Okay. BBS produces signatures, which means public-private key cryptography. You'll have a private key and a public key. What's different about BBS, let's look at the signature creation, is it doesn't work on just one item. It works on what we call messages. BBS terminology calls the things messages. They can be plenty long. They don't have to be short. Okay. And we create a signature on those messages. Okay. Now, BBS has the property, more stuff, that if I add a message, create an updated signature, signature changes, oh, but the signature is a fixed length for an arbitrary number of messages within the size of the finite fields and such, where it's essentially arbitrary, okay? So, BBS is very space efficient for multiple messages, okay? So, fixed size signatures. Second thing that BBS allows you to do, once again, BBS works with assign, So we produce a signature creation. We can look at the signature bundle produced. Here's the public key. Here's all these messages. We can look and see, did the signature verify? And obviously, if we change one of these messages, process the JSON, it will won't verify, okay? So it's got the properties of a signature. Okay. Now, though, selective disclosure. A tree goes into a bar to get a big glass of water. Doesn't want to reveal who he is, but the bar requires that all trees have to reveal their date of birth and their home, state park. Otherwise, they won't get served in California because we tend to have droughts. Okay? So we're only going to select a certain amount of information. Okay? So out of all that information, just given the signature and the public key, not the private key, so this would be the holder, can select what they're going to reveal. Okay? And so I bundle this up into a proof bundle. Okay, there's the public key. There's the disclosed messages. There's some extra information telling which of the original messages I actually disclosed. And here's this proof thing. It's longer than the signature. Okay. And using just the public key, a verifier can verify the proof. And if they try and lie about their age, say they're older than they are, the proof won't verify. Okay? So that's selective disclosure. Okay. Unlinkable proofs. What is this about? Okay. So we saw the tree driver's license, we saw selective disclosure, saw example proof. There are times when you want to be tracked. If you are windsurfing on the San Francisco Bay, where there's huge container ships and tanker ships and ferry boats and things like that, you might like somebody to know where you are. Here I am outside the Golden Gate Bridge, and the fog's coming in. And there could be container ship traffic. Those things are 7 or 8 stories. They're taller than 8 stories tall from the water. I've counted 7 containers stacked on them from their deck as I've sat out here. Okay, that's a good thing. However, on the internet, we get tracked a lot. That's not a good thing. Okay, I just got a notice from my healthcare provider that there was a data breach. Was it a data breach? Not really. The web designers for the healthcare provider had put pixels for Twitter and Facebook and things like that. They didn't realize that by putting those on their website, they allowed those social media sites to know every time I visit my healthcare provider. When I visit them, how often, the exact time and date, etc. Okay? Now, we have a situation where verifiers could collude with each other. Okay? You're going, well, how would they know who's who? Well, in a signature, it's cryptographic information. Signatures are highly unique. Okay? If the data is different, the signature has to be different. Okay? We're using cryptographic hashes. We're using cryptographic signatures. Okay? So people could kind of tell from signatures if the same person visited verifier 1 and verifier 2, if they present the same credential. Okay? Verifiers could collude. Okay? Or verifiers could collude with issuers to be tracked. Okay. This is covered completely and documented in the BBS spec. The BBS spec where we cover this, because BBS is the only current selective disclosure scheme that provides unlinkable proofs. Okay? So, what do we mean by unlinkable proofs? Let's go back to the example or the demo, or you can try this yourself. Okay. If I come up here and click the Create Signature button, nothing happens. BBS is deterministic, and the version of we standardize. Okay, so the signature doesn't change. If you give somebody the signature, they'll know and be able to track you by this unique information. Let's go down and look at the proof. Okay, if I click the Generate Proof button, I get a new proof. If I click it again, I get another proof. I click it again and again. Each one of these proof values I get, the cryptographic information, is completely, from a point of view of cryptography, statistically different from each value previously generated and the original signature. Okay. This is using the magic of zero knowledge proofs. Okay. So the proof information itself is completely unlinkable. Now, what you may have in and disclose may be linkable. Look, if there's only one tree in the Jebediah Smith Redwood State Park, okay, and there's, okay, and they have their birthdays on them distinctly, then I'm going to be able to tell, okay. There are a lot of trees in Jebediah Smith. I mean, there are over 1,000, probably way more than that, because that's one of the major Redwood State Parks. Okay? And they don't identify their date of birth on the trees. Hence, we have what's known as a good anonymity set there. Okay? So we can generate these unlinkable proofs. Okay? BBS is very good for this. However, they do not prevent correlation on disclosed information. Okay? There is a whole important write-up we added to the BBS spec, which goes into a lot more detail on selective disclosure and unlinkability. Okay? Shows two different types of tracking via verifier-issuer collusion and verifier-verifier collusion, and looks at things from cryptographic primitives, from how we map things in, and goes through this in depth, okay? So just because BBS provides unlinkable proofs doesn't mean that if you stick an ID in the middle of everything and make it and disclose it, doesn't mean you have reduced your anonymity set to zero, okay, to one. Okay, so that's the caveat. BBS can help a lot with its unlinkability, but there's another piece to it. Questions? So we're done, right? You just showed us how to... Oh, wait. These are messages. This doesn't look anything like a verifiable credential, does it? No. This is just Greg's example. He just bundled things up into JSON and passed it around within his example, his demo of BBS. This is a demo of BBS where, I use some JSON, but it's not a verifiable credential. We got some work to do. So let's look at BBS API. Okay, careful. There's BBS. The BBS signature scheme. okay, produced by the IETF. And then there's verifiable credentials, okay. We have terminology collision. Both BBS and verifiable credentials use the term proof and signature. These can have very different meanings. Hence, I'll use terms like BBS signature and BBS proof for cryptographic information generated by the BBS signature scheme. And then I'll try and use verifiable credential VC data integrity proof, okay, separately. Okay, so it's a signature scheme, BBS. It's got sign and verify. Okay, sign uses a secret key, not unusual. What's unusual is it uses not one message or document or data that you're signing over, but an array of messages, an ordered array of messages. Okay, verify uses the public key, the signature, and messages. Header is actually is a nice way of furnishing associated data along with the signature, and we use that feature as part of the overall scheme of putting verifiable credentials into BBS. Okay, but I'm not going to cover that detail, but you're seeing it here. Okay. However, that's not all. BBS has a second set of APIs, something called ProofGen. Okay. This is the BBS proof generated by the holder. Okay. Utilizing the signature, public key of the issuer, but no private key of the issuer. This is completely new. Okay. Oh, to create that proof, we supply the messages and then we tell it which of that ordered set of messages we choose to disclose. Oh, so this is our API. Okay. Then the verifier would use this proof verify, okay, underneath everything, with the public key of the original issuer, the BBS proof generated by the holder, and the disclosed messages they receive. Okay. Oh, and they need to know the indexes of those messages too, out of the original set. So they get the disclosed messages and the indexes, okay, are used by the verifier to validate. Okay. So you can see we got some extra information besides just the messages. We have to give them the disclosed indexes. We got to give them the header, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I have JSON LD. Here's my windsurfing quiver consisting of a bunch of sails and a bunch of boards with made up names because these are not actual brands. These are cities on Maui. Okay. Like Wailea and Lahaina, which we hope is recovering, and Kihei. Okay. How do we go from this to a set of messages? That's key. And an ordered set of messages, and an ordered set of messages that doesn't care about things that are equivalent, like reordering the names of the properties in JSON LD. And JSON LD is actually more general than just JSON. There's more different things that you can do as far as meanings go. Okay. They have notions of things like sets, not just arrays. Okay. So how do we get from the messages or statements, right? Each one thing. So JSON LD is a serialization storage and exchange format for the JSON description framework. Uh-oh. I start getting scared when I see this stuff. RDF is a graph-based model consisting of subject, predicate, object, if needed, containing graph. RDF, oh boy, let's look at a picture. So let's take a look at my credential and the JSON LD playground. So this is my windsurfing quiver. If I look at visualized, I see that all this nested structure looks like a graph. Not the kind of graphs I'm used to with networking. This is kind of a more simple graph, an acyclic graph. There's no loops. Okay? So the credential itself has a type. It's a verifiable credential. It's got an issuer. It's got a credential subject. Oh, okay, that's the high level. Then the credential subject has a sale number, a set of sales. Look at my sales. Okay. Oops, it's missing my 5-0, which I used yesterday. Never mind. Okay. Got a set of boards. Okay. Oh. So each one of these represents a statement. Okay, look, the sale number, okay, Earth 101, board name, okay, all these different things get turned into statements. Okay, and the canonicalized version of this, with this thing called RDF canonicalization, is going to produce a consistent set of ordered statements. Okay, for equivalent JSON LD documents, canonized will produce the same set of statements in the same order. That's exactly what I need for BBS because it's an ordered set of messages. Without that, I can't do BBS because I need to do things based on a set of, an ordered set of messages where I sit there and say, what index of those messages am I revealing? Time check. We're going to make it. Okay. So we already saw the example set of messages. Okay. Highly readable there. No, we're not going to make developers or users deal with the canonical version of the JSON LD. Okay. The issuer of one of these BBS credentials has the option to specify some statements must be revealed, mandatory reveal, okay? And a holder, as we saw before, is going to want to selectively disclose statements. How do we do this in a friendly way or a standard way if it's not friendly? There's something called JSON pointers. It's been standardized for a while now. It's an IETF standard, okay? And it tells you a nice string syntax for identifying a specific value within a JSON object, or within a JSON document, okay? For example, it can be as simple as slash issuer is used to match the issuer field. Is it really that simple? Yeah, pretty much. This document, like all documents that specifies things like this, has to deal with lots of with a bunch of weird corner cases. So when you read the document and look at the example, you're going, what is this stuff? It's very complicated looking because they're dealing with a bunch of corner cases, okay, with special characters, okay? If I want to specify my sale number, which I have to, okay, the race committee is going to make that mandatorily disclosed because otherwise nobody can identify me on the water. Okay, they're going to say sale number. So that's pretty straightforward. Credential subject, mandatory disclose the sale number. Then it says you got to reveal two of your sales. Okay. And the year of one of your boards. I just made this up. Real race committees want to make you do that. They have other restrictions and things like that and would certify your equipment. Okay. you can use a variety of different JSON pointer libraries and perform the matches. Okay, that's what I did here. This is all taken from the test vectors in the spec. Okay, to show people how to do this stuff step by step. Okay, and behind the scenes, that stuff, that's what all this data, if you ever wondered why under these selective disclosure functions in the ECDSA document, BBS reused a lot of these things. They're about going back and forth between looking at the JSON, using JSON pointers, getting the canonical form, okay, that we work with, and such like that, and back and forth, okay, right? Because the canonical form that we work with, it gives us the list, ordered list of statements that we're going to use for BBS. How are we doing time-wise? We're going to make it. Okay, let's put this together. Data integrity base. Okay, there's two different types of proofs. There's the one created type of verifiable credential proofs that we're going to use, okay? Create base proof is going to be used by the issuer, okay? And this is going to use the BBS signature, okay? Proof options. Like we said before, those are the things like created date, the crypto suite, BBS 2023, okay, and that kind of stuff. The public key information, the unsecured document, the credential without proof, and the key material. This is like what we've done before. What's new is mandatory pointers. Okay, how do you specify what's mandatory? Could be empty array of JSON pointers, the mandatory reveal. Okay, what we'll do is we'll do similar to like we did before. We'll canonize the proof options, produce a hash. We will take, okay, we'll take as inputs our mandatory pointers on secured documents, produce mandatory hash over the mandatory statements, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we're going to take what becomes our header of our proof hash and our mandatory hash, and our messages become the non-mandatory quads. Deep information, you don't have to worry about it. We've got higher level functions that do all this for you. Okay. We package this all up. We put things into the field, the proof value field. Okay. In a way where we can actually identify the difference between this base proof and what we'll see next is derived proof. Okay. So what does this end up looking like? It doesn't look too much different than what we've seen before. Okay, here's all the fields, here's our credential, here's all my sales, here's my boards. Okay, the proof here, data integrity proof, blah, 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 verification information, proof value. Okay, but this is BBS particular. Okay, this is a BBS base proof. Verifiable credential. It's the base proof, and it used the BBS signature. Okay. Now, what does the holder do? The holder receives this. The holder's got the secured document. They do not send the secured document to a verifier. No, no, no. They specify using selective pointers. Okay. JSON pointers, the fields they want to reveal. Okay. Then, ultimately, inside, we're going to use the BBS proof gen. Okay. Notice you use the BBS signature from the original issuer, okay, and it's never sent to the verifier, okay? The messages are the non-mandatory quads and such like that. That's down in the details, okay? We're going to create the selectively revealed document, the document that only has a certain subset. Oh, only two of my sales. Information about both boards, though. Okay. And we see a proof with a proof value. This proof value is based on the BBS proof, that zero knowledge proof thingy that I can make unique for each time, for each time I visit the same verifier, or for each verifier I visit. Okay, I can create a new proof. It's in the hands of the holder. Okay, along with those fields they choose to selectively reveal. Okay. So I went quick through this. I didn't go through all the details. We've got all the details, obviously, in the specs. And you can see all the test vectors, too, in the specs. Okay. Questions. I know I went through that quick, but I wanted to particularly hit the issue of JSON, LD, how do we get messages for use with BBS? How do we spec mandatory and selective pointers? And we have two different types of proofs, verifiable credential proofs, a base proof and a derived proof.
Thanks, Greg. That was great. I have a couple of questions, but does anyone else have anything? Dimitri.
I have a really simple question, which is, why are they called messages and not fields or properties?
I'm going to blame these guys.
Awesome.
And it came from, I think, the original paper.
Okay. Well,
I'm glad they used messages, because if it was properties, that would have been even more of a collision.
I could see how that would be very confusing. That makes sense.
I mean, statements could have been okay.
Yeah, I think it's just a leftover from the academic papers. They use messages there. So.
Yeah.
I also have a simple question, which is, you said this spots two types of proofs, right? Base proof and derived proof. And I think, but I'm not sure, you're using some bytes to flag. It's like in that encoded proof value, it's, there is some bytes in there at the start that says this is derived or this is base, right?
Yes. Okay. In, let's see, where am I right now? I am, this is the base proof. In the base proof example, what we do, remember I said, hey, we got to tell people the mandatory pointers and things like that. I got to convey some header information. We packed up some other things in the raw BBS signature. We take all those extra pieces that we have to convey, and we actually use CBOR encoding for efficiency, and we put a CBOR tag at the front of it, okay, that tells us to indicate the base proof, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Zero, blah, 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 blah. And now if we go and look at the, if we look at the derived proof, we'll see that the values are slightly different. Okay. And this is similar to what was done in ECDSA SD. And in about a month, I'm going to tell you about some features of anonymous holder binding and two different flavors of, and a flavor of pseudonyms, which are very nice features to add on top of BBS. And we actually use some header bytes there again. So I've kind of summarized that. These optional feature summaries. All the different proof header bytes we might use. Note the optional features I'm going to talk about. Those are provisional right now. Okay. But I've got this little table that and there's a section that explains them, and I'll be talking about them in about a month. But yes. So the person receiving a proof can determine if it's the right type of proof for what they think it is. And what I mean by proof, I mean verifiable credential proof type.
Cool. I think is it Philip on the queue? I'm not sure if you're handle.
That's correct. Quick question, and the question is, I'm assuming because this is a derived proof that neither the relying party or the verifier has any information about the fact that there may be 7 or 8 other properties in the original JSON-LD credential that they're not disclosing. They know nothing about what's not disclosed in terms of even the number that might have been present, but of which only 3 are shown. Something like that?
Ideally, yes. Okay. When I say that, though, one of the things, though, that we do, and we have to tell them, is we have to tell them the selective indexes. Okay. And so in this document, and when you deal with linkability, okay, we want to be very cautious because selective indexes, you're just going to tell them which indexes you're using, right? What happens if you had a very long college transcript with every course somebody took over 4 years and you're going to select the courses you did best out of to show to a certain class of employers? Under those kind of circumstances, those indexes themselves could create something that's somewhat linkable. Okay. So even in the original BBS document, when we talk about, we added this in, there's security and privacy considerations. We worry about things like, hey, the total number of messages will be known. Also, the index of the disclosed messages, okay? So we have to be careful because everything we try and do here, we try and have rigorous statements, okay, about the security of things. And so I will say that those indexes can reveal something, just like the total number of messages. We can reduce that, obviously, by having a fixed number of messages for a certain class of documents, okay? So, yes, they will not know anything about those other things, but I always worry, we always want to be cautious about data leakage because we're cryptographers, okay?
Right. So that I might be able to determine by subtracting those two things that I got 4 things out of 12 or 4 things out of 50.
Precisely.
And I don't necessarily know that each message corresponds, in your example, for a transcript to a course. Could a message could correspond to things beyond just courses, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool. We are pretty much at time. I just have one last thing that I'm a bit confused about, maybe other people are. Can you tell me the difference between a crypto suite and a signature suite? Because I used to call these things signature suite, but maybe the language has moved to crypto suite. Like the thing that describes all the steps.
We, in the data integrity document, the term that got chosen was crypto suite.
Right.
Which is probably a little bit better for BBS because BBS, it's it's both signature and zero knowledge proof of knowledge of a signature. Wow, that's a long thing, or BBS proof, right? So it's not, I mean, they act like signatures, what the holder is generating for verifiers and BBS, but truth be told, they're not accurately to call it signature. So I'm not sure who chose that nice language, CryptoSuite, but I like it.
Cool. So CryptoSuite is the thing that describes all of the steps from like canonicalization, hashing, signature scheme, encoding, right?
Yeah.
Great.
So.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm conscious we are at time.
Okay. The time bell rang.
Great. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Okay, guys.
We'll see you.